Do you know what phrase I hate?
I imagine you're going to tell me.
Well, it's I'm not sure if it's the phrase itself or if it's the energy that the phrase embodies.
Oh, God. Is this something I say all the time?
No. It's something we don't say because we have no right to say it.
Okay.
But it's, we got a great show for you tonight.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, uh-huh. Hey, we got a great show for you tonight, folks.
And if I'm in the audience, I'm just like, you don't fucking know that.
That's
true. I
know
for a fact, as a showrunner myself, I know for a fact you do not know that. That is a bold-faced lie.
And that entire is a leap of faith.
Yeah, and that entire energy, that entire sort of, we got
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
We got a great show for you tonight.
I think a couple podcasts you're calling out.
Oh yeah, it's that always takes me out of the moment, and that makes me want to pull out my notepad or phone and start taking notes instead of actually listening, you know, just to try and poke holes in something instead of enjoy it. So
what prompted this tonight?
I don't know. I think I was just thinking about it. I was thinking about why I don't go to more live spaces. And part of that is...
A lot of them have this energy?
A lot of them do, I think, have... I think a lot of them in certain spaces do have that energy, especially as the audiences get broader and broader. That tends to bring people in. But you saw me do coached ensembles. I don't remember if you saw me at Second City, I did coach ensembles.
I don't know if you saw
the episode or the episode, the one where I led the stage.
I honestly don't recall.
I don't remember. I remember leading a stage and just being like, "Hey, everyone, our improv group name was Here to Make Friends." So I was like, "Hey, everyone, we're here to make friends. thanks for stopping by. We're super happy you're here, and whatever, and this is our names." I don't remember what the instructions were. Just said our names. We're here to make friends. Thanks so much for being here. And we will take one suggestion of a type of butthole or something. I can't remember what I said. It wasn't that, obviously.
Well, I want to know what the types of buttholes are, but more importantly, I think what grates about the phrase, because I get what you mean, I think what grates about it is that when you say it, especially in that manner, you're just emulating someone else who you've heard say it, mm-hmm. and you're just doing it because it's kind of like, because you don't have anything else, right? It's like your fallback for what's my transition going to be here? I don't know. I guess people say something like this.
Yeah, it is. It is that sort of thing. It is that sort of thing that I, in my heart of hearts, know doesn't really mean anything.
Exactly.
And I'm like, why are you saying it then? That's so inefficient.
Well, and I can recognize in myself the potential for stuff like that to come out because I'm just like tired and I'm like, I don't know. I guess we got to keep the thing moving.
Yeah.
But that's why we aspire to do better here at Stormbuds.
Speaking of aspiring to do better, man, I went back and listened to that bit I did where I junctioned my voice onto my bad impression of Ben Starr. Man, that was audio poison.
I thought that second turned out great.
Oh, really? I could barely understand myself, and I knew what I was saying.
Maybe because I heard you say it the first time, I got most of it.
I don't know. That was that one. I said I was going to make a clip of it, and I said I cannot possibly make a clip of this thing. with that all being said, we got a great show for you tonight.
No, we really, we no. have, I think we have a good episode ahead of us. I say that with total earnestness.
We got a great show for you tonight. We sort of try to solve the mystery. What the fuck is the mystery of Nancy Drew with the shattered medallion?
Buds, a storm of buds, and we're going to tell you about how we saved the world.
Oh, hello. Hi there. Welcome to the first week of Goldvember.
Oh, right, this.
Yes, yay. What's the...
What
does Dutch sound like? I could have researched this, but I think I'm never going to.
Hello, it is I, your golden boy of light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined by my co-gold boy of light, Alexander Hambrock. Say hello.
Hello. I'm Alexander Hambrock.
That's him, and we are the Stormbuds. I'm going to talk over that so we don't get content ID'd because it's too perfect. We are covering video games because we are a video game podcast. And we are covering video games for the month of November that all have to deal with gold, or so we thought.
I mean,
there's a little bit of gold.
There are things in this game
that have
gold. There are
pieces of gold in Nancy Drew and the Shattered Medallion.
Man, this was your pick, okay? I had some options that actually featured like gold mines and shit, and you were like, no, Shattered Medallion.
I wanted a Nancy Drew game, and this one had a gold thing on the cover of it.
I get to pick the next Nancy Drew game?
Yes, you do.
I'm going to pick one of the good ones.
It better be on Steam. No, I don't know what you're talking about. This game is incredible.
This game is something.
We're going to talk about Nancy Drew and the Shattered Medallion, if you didn't pick up on that, for the first chunk of this episode. And for the second chunk of this episode, we're going to talk about Sea of Thieves. And we are going to talk about Sea of Thieves. We're going to keep delving into the Sea of Thieves week after week for our sort of long play. Even though Sea of Thieves isn't a narrative long form thing, so, you know, we don't have to recap it.
I mean,
there is plenty to do.
Honestly, thank God, like, the long plays have gotten me through a lot of story-based games I otherwise would not have touched, but I do need a break this month, and this is very fun.
Yes, we did. I think we both did. So we'll get more on that after the ad break later. But first, yes, Nancy Drew and the Shattered Medallion. This will be the third game, technically, that we've covered. I was sick for the last one, and that sucked because Waverly Academy is a relatively good game, narrative-wise, compared to
this one.
This fiesta. We had picked Nancy Drew and the Shattered Medallion, full well knowing that the Steam reviews were already mixed. Which is saying a lot, because the people that play Nancy Drew games tend to look past a lot of glaring flaws.
Yes. So Shattered Medallion 2014, also Her Interactive, obviously, immediate follow-up to The Silent Spy, the first one that
Are
we
you
played.
Serious?
Yeah, this is one that came out after The Silent Spy. So again, we are well into the era of like really questionable Nancy Drew games.
I don't know.
Like look, I love the Nancy Drew games. Even the best ones from the mid-2000s are in some ways kind of fundamentally compromised sort of like entertainment projects. These games are just off the rails. And
this game is a total trash heap, but I absolutely love it, and I'm definitely going to finish it. Oh my god.
Okay, do you want to tell us what the premise
I will
game,
tell you the
quote
premise
unquote
of this
is?
Game so far. I'm only a couple hours in, but from what I understand so far, the premise of this game is that you and your friend Georgie are cast in a reality television show set in New Zealand. It's not Temple Run. What's it called?
It's based off like Survivor.
It's like Survivor, but instead of Survivor gameplay, the gameplay is like all sorts of kind of the mini challenges of Survivor, none of the actual surviving. And it's kind of like Legends of the Hidden Temple, but without the fun of it. You just are doing sorts of puzzles all across the island and ostensibly racing against 8 other team members that are getting slowly eliminated based on how well or fast they do. There is an absolutely baffling point system that you are awarded for both individual challenges and for group challenges, both of which are the same thing for Nancy because her partner is nowhere to be seen, and then even further nowhere to be seen. Because you are, of course, at Bess's behest, you are cast with Georgie. Georgie, however, soon in the middle of the first task.
Just George, by the way. It's
oh,
just,
Georgie?
It's just George.
George? Oh, her name's George.
Yep.
Okay, sure. Why not? George goes across a rope bridge to take all the credit for all the work you did. Jump the rope bridge puzzle. That took me a hot second to understand
the
rules of that. After you did all the work solving that puzzle, she steps on it and just... It breaks and falls. And what is the most... It's not gruesome, but it is definitely the most direct, like, seemingly fatal thing that happened. But it obviously, George just broke her leg and she's out. And she gets replaced with none other than useless Bess.
Bess, yes, Bess, the other friend.
Oh my god, Bess is in this game.
I was like, oh, Bess is in this now, it rules. But this game, I think this game does Bess dirty.
Oh,
like,
really? Well, really, you think? Because Bess, wow, Bess is one of a whole host of characters whom you have described before as being brick walls. I would say that these characters are maybe steel walls at this point, and you are playing tennis with them, except the ball is maybe it's more like a baseball, and your racket is your head. Oh my God, there's Patrick. Oh,
I love Patrick. Oh, Patrick's the best.
Oh my
Patrick's
God,
my favorite. I love
oh my
him so
God.
Much.
I mean, he's just written.
Oh, okay,
he's
okay.
Written to be really, really stupid, and it's possible that there's more that he's letting on. And he's super awkward.
There must be.
You guys. I can't. Okay.
Okay.
There's
okay.
A couple
okay.
things I have
let
to include
take,
here.
Let me take over for like a few seconds.
Oh
here.
My God.
Okay. So. You've just signed up for this reality show with George, who gets taken out immediately, like you said.
Yeah.
But also, it's
oh my God, yeah, the showrunner.
Something is happening with, like, the showrunner is this guy named Sonny, who appears to have kind of, like, hijacked the show and is running it weird, and the other contestants either, like, don't know what's going on, or maybe kind of in on it, or maybe sort of actually running their own sort of, like, things
Sonny
going on.
Sonny is this weird bisexual pair of walking tweezers. He's just like that's the charisma this guy has. It is absolutely atrocious, and he is definitely rigging the show, because there was one part where I was like the bottom of the points leader. I don't know the point system, and I was like at the bottom, and it was like due to pulling some strings, Sonny made sure Nancy didn't get eliminated. And I was like, why?
Yeah, it's the other thing. Also, there are like 10 teams on this show. You only see 3 teams worth of people, and all the other ones get eliminated off screen.
Yeah, it's absolutely nothing. There's a very obvious conniving woman who's paired with Patrick that is like supposedly his girlfriend. I don't know. And then there's a local New Zealander woman who is just there for the TV, which is like the most realistic character there is, to be honest. I like her the most. We form a tenuous alliance with her, and we give her clues and she gives us some clues. And while that's a little boring, it works.
Okay. So we're going to say a lot of stuff. Like, this game is, I think, not very good for ways that we have alluded to and ways that we'll talk about. But I do want to give this game genuine props, because frankly, even more than the Silent Spy, which like the Silent Spy, I thought was actually pretty poorly written in a lot of places. This game, the plot is very bad, but a lot of the character writing is genuinely actually funny. It's some of these characters are great. Like,
I think for every reason we're gonna call this game bad, we're gonna say we love it as well, because I think this falls into the so bad it's good territory.
I want to read a few early lines and exchanges here, just because I think that they're so good. Mm-hmm. Right. Patrick, our wonderful like himbo, you meet him early on, and he says a couple things. He says one, like, I've been on TV before. It doesn't seem different from regular life. It's like you make a tiny clone of yourself for people to yell at. And
I
hate water. Why? I don't have any body fat. I'm like a gorilla. I sink to the bottom.
Oh my God. That was and Nancy, every time, she's just like, you don't look like an athlete. Nancy has her traditional acerbic, tactless retorts to everything he says.
The other exchange that genuinely cracked me up, like, it is rare for me to laugh at a video game, especially unintentionally, but with what's her name, the woman who's like a reality TV show star, she's in a few other shows before.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy's talking to her and is like, how did you get started in reality TV? And she says, I got started on a show called Sleepless. You stay up for 24 hours and then go on a date. We went skiing and he died. What? Later, in an unrelated boat thing.
Stupid. This game is so stupid. It's so stupid. It is the opposite of smart. And if you think stupid is funny like I do, pick this one up.
Okay.
Or you can check the VOD, because I am streaming this game.
Oh, you are? Okay.
The hell out of this game.
So here is my question for you.
Yeah.
Did you get to the backstage area yet?
No, I'm on the third task. So.
Okay, so you should already be able to get to the backstage area. It's like out of order type thing. If you got the key that lets you...
I haven't gone there yet.
Okay.
I don't know like what the order of this game is. I haven't... there's one thing I haven't done... go ahead.
I'm really tempted to spoil something about the premise of this game?
No, I'm going to play it.
Okay,
I'm gonna play it.
Then here's what I'm going to say.
I'll figure it out. If I lose, I'd have to restart for some... Like, okay, here's the thing, right? Don't be too worried, because this is a Nancy Drew game. Like, I was worried at first, right? Because I'm just like, what if I, like, mess my save file up, like, missed or something, and I have to start over again? I'm like,
no,
this is Nancy Drew. This is not missed. What game do I think?
It's going to let you get to the end, right?
It'll be
fine. You're not
going
to put your hand on the wrong book and get sucked into the mind prison.
If I do, it'll just take me back to before I put my hand on the book. And then I'll just not do that.
Okay. I guess what I will say is this, and no spoilers then. I think I was actually struck by is that this game, more even than many Nancy Drew games, attempted to be doing like some actual educational content about
the word search that let you learn the terms, and then every Nancy Drew game has a book with a bunch of resources in it. That's not very engaging. I think this one is a little bit more engaging with its educational material.
Yeah, it's got here are some of the like native plants of New Zealand.
Yeah, it's also very engaging with a couple of its microaggressions.
Yeah, that too. It's
a little column A and column B. Or should I say totem pole A and totem pole B?
Yeah.
Because they are everywhere on this camp and they are not okay.
It is trying to present some things that at least it understands as like authentic sort of things. Facts to learn about like Maori culture,
yes,
and the plants of New Zealand and stuff, and then
Bess will say like, I think Patrick is my spirit animal, which is not okay.
No,
that is not okay. You do not say that about people. You don't declare your own spirit animal, and it's not. It's a specific tribe to tribe thing.
When you get to the backstage area,
I'm so excited to do that. I will be streaming.
Yeah, there's some papers in a tent that you can read.
I'll see everything. I'll see everything. You don't have to direct me.
I'm just saying. I wish I'd recorded my reaction because I read these papers and I was like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing.
I'll record mine. As I was saying, I'm going to be streaming the rest of these games on my Tuesday streams, twitch.tv/JeromeBarbatsis, and I will have the VODs up. I have the VOD up my first 2 hours, and you can see my reaction to reading the first piece of paper in this game, which was the letter. And I believe I said something like, oh, no. Oh, no. This is a reality show.
It's not even here. Okay. It's barely a reality show. That like, okay, the budget of this game, I'm sorry, it can't sell the reality show. There's no cameras. There's no sense that like anyone is like filming you or that you're on TV or that you're doing anything other than walking around this island solving puzzles by yourself. Even early on, like, I was like, oh, we're teamed up with George. Awesome. And then, like, between what the start of the game and when you go to the bridge and she breaks her leg, she doesn't say anything or show up at all.
Not at all. Like, she's complete dead weight. So it's like, all right, I guess I don't feel this loss. I think the puzzles themselves are kind of fine so far. I did not do Master.
Nope, not this time.
Oh my God. I'm so glad I did. Because on camera, like, I don't want to be wasting people's time, like, searching around an island for 25 minutes looking for the last plant because I didn't turn left in the water to go to the Midland Shore or whatever I did.
Which is so stupid.
So I'm like, I'm just going to be taking this game, clicking the hint button when I'm like, no, this is stupid. I don't trust that this game is going to be smart and worth my actual mental energy. I'm just here for the ride. And I think that's why I'm having probably the most fun playing.
there are some pretty decent fun puzzles in this game. Like, you know, like little like screens you got to do or whatever. There are some, the sheep stuff was a little convoluted.
I did the sheep shearing. I don't remember it being that bad. That was the number flipping thing, wasn't it?
There were things that I missed in the barn where like I ended up having where do you get this? Oh, the key is in the sheep on the display.
Yeah, what? Yeah, yeah. Why? That was silly. I was like, okay.
But like aside from that, yeah, it hasn't been too bad so far.
One thing I know you mentioned to me in DMs that I have not done yet is the confessionals.
Oh yes.
Nancy, what I tried at the beginning, Nancy was like, I don't want to do that. And then I was like, all right, I guess we're not doing that, but I'll go back and do them as many times as I can.
You find other people's confessionals in the back. When you get back, you'll find like a computer with the recording.
That's fun. I mean, yeah, I'm excited to dive into this game. Gonna play the rest of it. We had a blast. This is a wild one, folks. I'm so glad. And you mentioned the character writing before. I do want to point out that, you know, of course, Nancy and Bess have probably the worst dialogue for 18-year-olds.
Bess is done so dirty by this game.
Bess, like, whenever we leave Bess, she's like, all right, you old so-and-so. I'm like, Yeah, that's not something an 18 or a teenager would say. That is something you'd say in like a third edition D&D campaign as like your improvised weapon fighter to like an old mercenary colleague NPC you're meeting up in a tavern and like fucking, I don't know, Red Larch, like not even in a major city in Faerun, right? You're just like, this is just like a passing.
It doesn't.
It's like it's you're jarring. So in the weeds to be able to say so-and-so.
Well, and
so uncool.
Not that Nancy Drew characters typically have a lot of depth, but this version of Bess is so vapid in a way that is kind of like makes me feel bad for
her. You're
going
to have to do a Bess redemption for me because like all I've had was not their best silent spy, not very helpful Bess in the phone, Waverly Academy, and this nightmare. I just think at this point too that there's no possible motivation going forward that could justify any of these characters' behaviors or decisions up
to
this point.
No, really not.
There's no way. And I'm so looking forward to just being in the experience and washing myself with the stupidity.
With no spoilers, I'll say straight up, this out of the ones we have played so far, and even my knowledge of the Nancy Drew games, has the least connective tissue for like why people are doing the things they're doing.
Exactly. And as I said in the introduction, what's the mystery? This game does, like, doesn't do the major thing. Like, there's two semi-unrelated mysteries happening. It's like, one, what's sort of going on with the show producer? And two, who maybe cut the rope on the bridge? But like,
yeah,
I don't
like,
even
no.
like want, I like don't want to solve that second one.
The mystery is really just kind of what's going on. The mystery is just really kind of like, yeah, like what is happening.
This feels so, yeah, it's not, it's so uncompelling that I have to know what this game is doing. But it's also not the reason I'm coming back. Like the reason I'm coming back is, you're as you said, to see the rest of these characters interact with each other and with Nancy, because they are gut punches every time. It's like a passing a kidney stone talking to Patrick. My God.
There's some great Patrick lines later on I'm not going to spoil.
I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Okay. Next time we're going to do fucking Secret of Shadow Ranch or something, okay? But like,
oh boy. Yeah, that's the cream of the crop, I hear.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like this one, I had fun just experiencing the bug nuts writing and general construction of this one.
I did too, and I will continue to do so. Well, that's going to do it for our discussion of Nancy Drew and the Shattered Medallion. As for the gold in that game, oh yeah, the medallion is like the main objective, and you're trying to capture pieces of the medallion to like signify and put them in your thing to signify that you did the challenge first.
Which, like, but you
and
also get
the medallion's made of gold.
Yeah, the medallion's made of gold.
We did it. We found gold. We struck gold with this. Oh boy, did we strike gold. That's about it with that, though. So not too much gold, unless there's more at the end. I don't know. Maybe that's why he took the show over, to find the gold on the island. Whoa.
There are golden things.
I can't wait for more gold. Well, we're going to get a lot more gold as we, after the ad break, talk about our first experience and thoughts of Sea of Thieves. I'll see you then. Yeah, man, what are you going to do until then? You ask loudly into the microphone.
Yeah, I did wonder what you're going to do next until then.
Yes, yes. Well, I will be just clipping my fingernails.
Okay.
Nothing weird about it.
We're gonna read some ads.
All right, this week we are sponsored by the campaign to elect Brett Revman to the role of Assistant Comptroller for the City of Chicago's 11th Water District.
Brett Revman.
Brett is running against incumbent Brenda Wachmistrovitz. And,
Boo, Brenda.
He is on an insurgent campaign to shake up the 11th Water District. We have Brett here on a Zoom call. He joined us for this. Brett, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Brett. Can you hear us?
Yes, I am Brett.
Brett, thank you. Thank you for speaking to the Stormbuds audience about your platform.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here on this platform to get my opinions and views out to your hundreds of thousands of listeners.
Yes, that is what I told you the reach of this would be when you asked what you were paying for. So, Brett, you're running for Assistant Comptroller of the 11th Water District.
That's true.
What is it about, you know, what motivated you to seek this office?
Well, the water in this city is just full of lead. It's full of lead.
It's full of lead?
Yes, especially in the 11th district.
But, you know, I've seen the reports. They say there's not a lot of lead in the city. Are you saying that there's more lead than we thought?
I believe there is a lot more lead than we thought. And as the comptroller, I will be able to control the composition of the water with better minerals like calcium and potassium.
Well, I'm not sure that that's what the assistant comptroller does, but it might get you adjacent to that role. So you've had some pretty harsh words against your opponent, Brenda Wachmistrowitz.
Brenda Wachmistrowitz. She's such bad at her job. No one can even remember her name. So who can hold her accountable? Because they can't Google her.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of Polish people in Chicago. I think some of them can Google her.
Well, they're all very good at Google then, and that's fine, but the majority of people, this is a democracy, and the majority of people need to be able to Google their assistant to the 11th District Watershed District Comptroller accountable for the composition of the water.
Speaking of accountability, Brett, a scandal broke recently about your office. You had, it appears to be, $116 in unpaid parking tickets. People have called out the fact that you have refused to pay these tickets, even in the face of calls to just resolve the matter. Can you speak a bit more to your stance there?
Well, okay, you say that that's a fact, but that is just a matter of opinion. We are working with our legal team to resolve the conflict with the city of Chicago for these parking violations that have been mistakenly attached to my vehicle when it is in fact a different white Honda Acura that has a similar license plate, but from a different state. So that state that the tickets was on was actually Iowa, and my state is Hawaii.
Got it. That makes sense. I appreciate you clearing that up.
Yes, that's the state where I got. That's my car license plate state.
Mm-hmm. Former President Trump has said that if he takes office, he will initiate new tariffs on all imports into the U.S. Do you have an opinion on this matter?
Well, yes, I would prefer if he didn't import my car that comes from Hawaii tariff.
Hawaii's a state.
Hawaii's a state, isn't it?
There wouldn't be any tariffs from Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, then I'm
fine with it, I guess. Then I was really just concerned about my car until I remembered that we actually do own Hawaii. That's kind of fucked up when you think about it.
No, it's not great. There's a lot of bad history there.
Oh, well.
Don't look into the history of the Dole Corporation.
I won't. You know what? You know what you can look into? Me. Brett.
Revman.
Thank you. Thank you for helping. 11th, the future assistant 11th Watershed District Comptroller.
Thanks for joining us, Brett.
Thank you.
We hope lots of folks will turn out for you on Tuesday.
Thank you so much for having me. And I would also like to plug my upcoming memoir that is coming out on December 5th. The Revenant of Revman. This is about my haunting experience in the haunted house at the Minnesota State Fair in the year 2017, where somebody who, quote-unquote, inadvertently touched my left shoulder. And it was very upsetting, and I think I want to speak out about that experience and everything that led up to that experience and going forward from it. Kind of, it's like putting that experience and how my life was so great beforehand and then how my life was so difficult afterward because I could feel the touch of that person on my left shoulder from then on. It was very upsetting. And I hope that there will be consequences for that teenage haunted house worker for breaching contract.
Oh, we'll look forward to that then. And is it self-published? Oh, nope. I see here you have a
contract. No, Publishers Clearing House. Yes, correct.
Well, they picked you up, huh?
They sure did. It's very serious and I'm a very talented writer.
What's getting a lot of... Wait, you interviewed the New York Times about this?
Yes, I had a great interview as well, interestingly enough, with Bloomberg. And it was wonderful meeting Jason Schreier.
Have you heard of Jason Schreier?
We're familiar with his work, yes.
He should come on this show. I think it would be really good. He had a book come out recently.
Well, you know, next time you interview with him, you should hopefully...
Yeah, I'll put a good word
in. Put a good word in
for
the show.
I'll put a good word in.
Yeah, good. Okay. Hey, we scratch your back, you scratch ours, but in a totally above board legal way.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yes, thank you. And also don't actually scratch my back or I will have to make another memoir.
Yeah, everything you just heard was completely in compliance with campaign finance
law.
Yeah,
it was a metaphor. I got it. I'm well written. But yes, I appreciate the clarification.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. And this was not an endorsement of Brett Revman for assistant comptroller. Just
what?
Paid advertising.
Okay, we're back. I missed my fingernails.
What? Is that why there's so much blood?
Well, no, that's just my period. I actually got... I accidentally clipped off, you know, what's it called? The WR off of Wrigleyville.
Oh, wow. Just off of there?
Now it's Igleyville.
That was quite an accident.
Yeah. Kind of like how in BoJack Hollywood became Hollywood.
Yeah. No,
yeah, that's kind
of
what happened.
Recording out of Igleyville now.
Well, no, we're absolutely not. How dare you? This is Eastern Lakeview.
This is Eastern Lakeview, fine, but you're close to Igleyville.
Upsettingly close. There's a very distinct vibe shift once you cross Clark.
That's true. You do immediately just encounter endless sports bars and endless sports memorabilia stores.
Well, that's about... let's get us started with our discussion, continuing on into Goldvember as we search the high seas for chests and gold and chalices and necklaces and plugs and stuff of gold in Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves is a live service game that came out, oh my God, when? 2017?
Yeah, we're like 7 or 8 years in now.
Yeah, it's a live service pirate game where you and your friends sail the open seas searching for all that buried treasure. But most of the time, you're spending it just sailing the open seas and pulling water from that coming into your ship from the open seas and putting that water back into the open seas. And then also... trying not to die to other people who are sailing the open seas and shooting cannonballs at you. The open seas are quite treacherous, not to mention the Krakens, I guess, that exist in this game now. I was unaware of that, and I was upset during the tutorial mission when they showed us that Kraken. Originally, this was a fully PvP experience. Did I mention it was by... It's apparently by Rairsoft. Didn't know that.
Yeah, no, that's the thing I think is also interesting about this. This is the game... So Rare Studios, Rairsoft... makes a bunch of very classic, well-known games like Banjo-Kazooie, Viva Pinata, GoldenEye, all that stuff. Gets bought by Microsoft in 2002, puts out their last game in 2006, and then for 12 years goes dormant. And everyone is like, what is Microsoft doing with Rare? They bought this beloved studio and they're not putting out anything. And I remember when Sea of Thieves was announced and kind of came out, there was kind of a reaction of like,
what
is... this they had Rare make a weird multiplayer pirate game,
yeah,
but having actually gotten into this now, I 100% see it. It's this game is very charming.
Yes, I see the vision, but I mean, of course, this was originally a fully PvP experience, which is an awful idea, because how do you enjoy this game a month after it comes out when you're getting sweat on by people who didn't have jobs when this game came out or something, you know? Like, it's just, it's a very high learning curve kind of game, and it's a very high knowledge barrier kind of game. While there is a tutorial in the game called Maiden Voyage that we both did, we also learned a lot by just logging in and trying to do a little campaign by ourselves. And there's... Yeah, I see the vision for this game, but I have some notes I'd like to give it. What are your impressions?
My impressions are, you're right, there's a high skill ceiling, we'll see how high the ceiling is, right? But wherever it is, we're not there yet. Two things I noticed immediately. One, maybe this will change later, but right now, blessedly few numbers. Like, you collect gold, but I don't get the impression that, like, I'm going to get a sword with +6 damage or anything. Like I don't know what's being tracked there, if anything is, but I don't... This game seems pretty RPG light, at least so far.
Yeah, it seems like a cannonball is a cannonball. is a cannonball.
Yes. And the other thing is that this game seems equal parts delightfully and infuriatingly physical, right? It's a lot of, like, it reminds me a lot of games like Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time or Real Human Basketball or some like the big boss stages in like Monster Hunter games where a lot of what's happening is like, hey, you need to get your character over from here to here. You need to pick a thing up and set it down over there. You need to physically like rotate the winch that like raises or lowers the anchor. There's a lot of sort of like scrambling to accomplish things by moving bodies around in physical space.
And those are the worst parts of Monster Hunter, to be frank, but they really make, they're a lot better in this game we're not necessarily dealing with big monsters yet, but in the Maiden Voyage, what the game gives you, it gives you a little bit of a tutorial as to how to access your menus, how to pick up a sword and swing it and eat food, and then it sort of lets you explore the island on your own for a bit. It gives you a brief tutorial on how to get water out of your boat and then set sail and patch up a hole. And that's kind of it. If you find the kayak in the Maiden Voyage, it'll tell you how to do the rowboat. That's very different.
Kayaks were Nancy Drew.
Yeah, sorry. The rowboat. And there's all sorts of little bespoke mechanics throughout the game, but none of it on the surface is too obtuse, but there still is a lot that is hard to get a hold of.
There is some mentally. Interface obtuseness. Yeah.
There's also some
game.
Interface obtuseness. I think the interface of this game is definitely part of the learning curve.
Like at any given time, I'm like, okay, to back out of this screen, do I press the escape key or the X key or sometimes the F key?
Yeah. And it's really like, I'm never sure which menu I'm on or which radial menu I'm on. Am I on my combat one or my throwables one or my fishing or my like utility / entertainment one or my quest one or my emotes radial or my other radial? Like there's a lot of radials. I do wish there was just a...
I almost wonder if this game controls better with a controller.
Possibly. Anyway, I'll give it a shot.
But you were going to say.
Yeah, I was going to shot. I mean, I don't know. You do have to aim a lot. So I don't know if I want to aim down sights with a controller. Setting this system up, Sea of Thieves is a one-of-a-kind game that does not allow you to, within the game client itself, set your microphone and audio device properties or anything like that. It relies directly on your default, which is odd for a Microsoft game. I mean, it's not like cross team talk is, I don't know. It was a pain in the ass. It was a pain in the ass for us to set up and make sure, because I have a lot of different devices. Obviously I'm trying to run a podcast and other production stuff from my own home. So
we
made
really something
difficult.
That I have never seen before, which is that the game audio was correctly out of my headphones, but the in-game voice from you was being piped to the audio output on one of my monitors, which had a built-in speaker.
And if you have to fix anything like that, you do have to close out the game entirely and then like try again. So when you're troubleshooting it, you have to like get into the game, talk in game, and then, oh, that didn't work, close out of the game, make some changes, and then come back in. So.
Which does not load super fast, even off my SSD.
No.
Like,
not super fast, and there's a lot of menuing, and there's like a weird lengthy cutscene every time you load into the game. So I think the menus and the interface of this game are probably the weakest points of it. I think once we take a long time, because we're doing this for the whole month, because it is fun once you get into it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like we're down on this game, but when we were actually playing it, I was having a great time.
But these are just our first impressions, and my first impression was, this is kind of clunky.
Yes.
And it kind of is. There's a learning curve to it. But once we got in together, we were having kind of a hectic blast. So once we figured everything out, and then we set sail on our ship, we picked up a quest from the Gold Faction. something yes. like that. Mm-hmm. We're just like, screw it. Like, I'm just going to ignore all this confusing seasonal stuff, all this like,
that's whatever, your thing, yeah, like
rewards or whatever the hell.
There's a lot of live service stuff going on in here that I am just not going to try to engage
like,
with.
It feels like, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, our adventure, though, was really fun. We just picked up a thing. We went to a little island that was quite far away, actually. We had to dodge some aggressive cannon fire. We went to the island. We actually just, like, managed to piece together a couple of puzzles. We got a treasure chest, some rewards, killed some skeletons, blew up a statue.
Yeah, no,
that was draining our health as we got to it. And we just didn't really, after we looked up how to troubleshoot and interact with the menu, we kind of stopped looking up what we were supposed to do, and we were able to actually have fun exploring the game. And it was a really good time.
Yeah, so far the most sort of like representative thing I think that happened to me in this game was I had the idea to try and shoot the cannon on the ship at the mermaid statue. I went and got on the boat. I lifted the anchor and unfurled the sail. I drove the boat immediately into the shoreline and caused a huge hole in it, and then had to basically patch it up and swing it all the way around. And then finally, finally managed to get the cannon aligned and shot like 8 cannonballs at this mermaid statue and blew it up. And
yeah, I was on the shoreline watching that happen, trying to fish. And then there was like, I was kind of facing away. And then there was like a prompt on my interface to say, interact with the mermaid to return to your ship. And I was like, why would it do that? And then I heard a crunch. I was like, And I turned around, and then, like, before I knew it, the ship was, like, super far away. I was like, yeah, cool. Great.
And then on the way back, you accidentally steered us into a storm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
While I was up in the crow's nest.
It was either a storm or the cannon island, and I was had not yet experienced the storm. I think that storm was coming for us either way.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, we did have to navigate, like, an electric storm that made our compasses go haywire.
So I caught on fire with St. Elmo's fire. And
how did you? Oh, you just used one of the firebomb?
No. It was the fire from the storm. It's like the fire that you get when in a big storm or whatever. It caught me on fire up in the crow's nest.
What? St. Elmo's fire is a thing?
Yes, St. Elmo's fire is a thing. I don't know if it actually
catches. It's not just a Brian Eno album?
No, I don't know if St. Elmo's fire actually catches you on fire, but it is a weather phenomenon. Oh. You get luminous plasma in thunderstorms on ships.
Oh, that also caused the mast to get on fire.
Yeah, that's what happened there. And then I jumped, and I couldn't put myself
out.
Were
you in the crow's nest?
Yes.
You psychopath. It was the middle of a storm, of course. Oh, my God.
I wanted to see what would happen.
Okay.
And so I couldn't get down in time.
I don't think it was. Was it St. Elmo's fire, or was it just a lightning bolt because you had a saber up in the mast of our ship?
It was green, so it looked like it was.
Oh, my God.
It was green. But, okay. Yeah, I had to jump.
That explains what happened there. I was just at the wheel, and then there was a flash, and then the mast was on fire.
I jumped into the ocean, and
sure
then
did.
Had to grab a friendly mermaid to get back to the ship.
Yeah, and I had to just kind of sort of let go of the wheel and get the water out of the ship. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of water going on. It's a lot of chaos. It did feel a lot. It felt like overcooked, but there wasn't the pressure of there being a like timer or like a line of customers out your window. You're just trying to survive so much and stabilize, and as opposed to like actually get an objective done per se. So I think that's a lot more fun, whereas I hate a game like Overcooked.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. But just like, it's too hectic.
It's not it's too hectic. It's there's,
Overcooked
there's
is
like,
the other good example.
Well, there's
yeah,
like
yeah.
a mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like there's a goal, and then the only thing getting in the way is just people's communication skills. And you're like, okay, I don't know. So that obviously I get very mad at the people I play Overcooked with, and then I get very mad at myself for experiencing that emotion, as valid as it might or might not be. So I'm like, fuck this game. I don't need this to do this. But Sea of Thieves does not do that to me.
I will say one thing I'm keeping an eye on here. We're in season 14 right now.
Yeah. That's a lot.
I am looking at the Season 14 update page. This appears to have introduced, like, several new gameplay systems in a way that has me curious how overwhelming it's going to be to have to catch up on 14 seasons worth of new gameplay systems.
I don't know, because I read up on that as well, but I also read that they took a lot of those new things out because they were bugged.
Oh, okay.
And then haven't put them back in yet. And I was like, because I've also seen a lot of dooming on the internet about this game being on its last legs. And I'm like,
really?
Yeah, if that sucks, then that could be the case. Maybe we're just getting in at its final hour.
That
I don't know. But
that's,
it's possible. But we'll get in here while we can and enjoy the rest of our time with Sea of Thieves. There will be another stream on my channel, twitch.tv/JeromeBarbazas at 3 Central. So if you're listening to this day of, especially you Brits, hello, if you're listening over there, you could tune into my stream and we can catch us playing Sea of Thieves with a couple of friends as well on my channel to kind of, and I'm really glad we have that sort of voyage under our belts before we get into anything with other people. I think we're going to want to try and cover because there's this Secret of Monkey Island crossover campaign that we would both probably really love now that we get a grasp on some of the basics of navigation and the core gameplay loop. That maybe we would really enjoy or not. I don't know, but you can see our reactions there. And then we'll talk more about that stuff and our experiences with it on the next episode of Stormbud. Anyway, that's going to do it for our discussion of Sea of Thieves. And next episode is going to be really, really excellent. We are going to talk about two excellent gold games. We are going to, is next thing Golden Sun?
Yep, Golden Sun.
Yes. We are going to talk about Golden Sun. I don't know why I might beat it. Every time I go into these old RPGs, I'm like, oh, what a breath of fresh air. And I just have a good time. And I end up just grinding them out or whatever. I don't know.
I will say, I tried to dip into Golden Sun maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. Mm. I do think it really has that Game Boy Advance RPG slowness to it that maybe like some fast forward features on the emulator might help with.
Yeah, possibly.
Like, otherwise, like I feel like Isaac moves around real sluggish in that game.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk more about it next week in Goldvember as we continue our discussion with the Golden Sun and Sea of Thieves. Did you like the hint that I posted last week in our Discord? I posted a hint to this month's theme, Goldvember. Nobody got it, but it was a good hint. It was a good hint.
I missed it, but I'm pulling it up now. Where did you post it?
I posted it in the general Discord, Stormbuzz general chat. That's like the channel we talk about the podcast itself. And you can join our Discord and get that hint for yourself by checking the link pop in the description of the episode. You can also participate in any polls we do or just talk games. Had a good couple of chats. With our lovely buds about Diablo 4 when we were playing that, that's a good. It's just always nice to have somebody to talk my thoughts with through even after episodes go out. So I really appreciate people in there. But yeah, do you like my hint?
I don't think I get it. Am I an uncultured?
What the
swine?
Dutch thing?
Yeah,
Dutch smokes.
I don't know what Dutch smokes.
Goldvember, gold member smoking a pancake. The Dutch.
Oh,
Goldmember's
right.
Dutch. Also, it says golden at the bottom.
It does say golden at the bottom. I've not watched Goldmember since I was like 12.
Oh, how could you forget the fact that he's Dutch and that he says smoking a pancake? That's like the two things apart from the word faja. There's like two. Beyonce.
No, now that you outlined it, I get
it. And
then
there's the only thing I said, the moly moly. If I just put a picture of somebody's mole, nobody would have gotten that. Anyway, you can do all that stuff. I've drawn this out, but before we go, I've got to do one last thing.
He's at a sink. He's got something hidden behind. Why is it hidden behind your?
Don't try to say it.
No, we cannot.
As is tradition with Sea of Thieves, with everyone who starts to play Sea of Thieves, like the good. The honorable podcaster Griffin McRoy. Oh, you're holding that upside down, buddy.
Are you fucking kidding?
We are going to take our first bite of a delicious banana.
you.
It's much like they do in Sea of Thieves, and much like you get an achievement for in Sea of Thieves, and we are going to do our outro then. Hey.
The things I do for our audience.
I have not been looking forward to this either. We both have a banana. I'm not just making him do this.
Do I have to swallow this?
Of course not.
I don't know.
Of course not. It's not swallowable.
Oh, of course not. I don't know what the limitations of this bit are.
Bon voyage and bon appetit.
Are we counting down? Just go for it.
3, 2, 1.
I hate this. Oh, that's a bad texture. That's a bad texture. Okay.
Oh, that
taste is awful. It's bitter. Isn't it what some bananas are like before we fuck them up?
Stop! I've been the whole time.
Maybe late stage capitalism is good,
please,
actually.
Please, let me get through the asshole! I'm the host of late grand about this. And I've been doing that my co-host for late. Alexander Handbook, say good banana.
Good banana.